is our podcast.
Oh, we're live. Sort of. Here we are. It's Taking It Down. We are here to talk and discuss and converse, dissect television and beyond. And today we have these things lined up. We're going to talk a couple of trailers from Disney Plus, a quick take on The Batman that's in theaters, the HBO Max series Our Flag Means Death from Taika Waititi, and we're going to continue our Apple TV Plus show Severance discussion. We did that in our last episode 2 weeks ago, but we're much further with it now. And hey, no Adam today. If you only tune in for the sonorous sounds of Mr. Adam Morrow, then it's just bad news for you. It's just me and our guy Donovan this week.
I'm terrified that people do only tune in for Adam.
He's got great insight, if nothing
That's
else.
That's the thing. What do I have besides this?
Great to be with you, Blaine.
Yep, there it is. Oh, man, yes. Donovan's here. It's me. It's Donovan. We're just going to chat it up. Adam out doing musician things. Everybody probably knows he's a working musician. Hey, I think he's going to be out of pocket next week, too. I don't know. Depending on where you stand, you're either in good luck or you're feeling horrible right now.
You're screwed. Just turn it off.
All right. Well, let's waste no time. Let's just do our short stuff first. We a couple trailers, both from Disney Plus shows. First is the Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer. I had seen the day it was released, and I think we both caught up on today, reviewed it. What'd you think?
Could be cool. Not entirely clear what old Obi-Wan is going to be doing in said trailer, but it could be cool, right? It looks like everything has kind of fallen apart. We haven't had a lot of exploration of this time period where the Empire is they kind of did a little of this in Rogue One, and that was really fun. So hopefully we'll get to see a little bit of the Empire being the bad guys again.
Yeah, I think they might be getting things really right in this. It's possible. I want to see how ruthless and scary the Empire is. You know, Star Wars, New Hope through Empire through Return of the Jedi, especially at the beginning of New Hope, sort of just tells you rather than shows you how dangerous the Empire is.
I mean, they wipe out Luke's family. That's about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And blow up Alderaan.
That's true. Okay, good point. Point taken. I guess I'd let those slip my mind. Here, though, we could really get into the desperation of people who's not a part of the Empire.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about that. I'm also in hopes that Joel Edgerton, one of my favorite actors, will have a lot to do as Uncle Owen, because he's in he's in the first three. Am I right about that? Or he's at the end of the third one, I suppose. I think he's making a return appearance.
Is he? He would be at the end of the... I think he was in the second and the third then.
Interesting.
If that's Joel Edgerton.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to... The thing I read recently was that he's returning, so it's got to
okay.
be.
I think he was in two and three then. At the very least, he was in three.
That's right. And McGregor is just excellent. And the good news about having him back, and he's such a good actor that can carry weight of a needed dark thematic thing if they really go that route.
I hope they give him enough to chew on, because he is such a fun actor.
Yes.
And he can really, I think he can do kind of more conventional stuff, but he can also do sort of weirder things, like when he did, he played the brothers in Fargo.
Yeah, the twin brothers, yeah. Super weird.
And it was weird, and he pulled it, and he did a good job, and he pulled it off. And I'd like to see them give him something a little meaty to chew on instead of, what's the opposite of meaty? Fluff.
Yeah, fluff. Or nothing. Hey, I thought he was really good in the first three.
I've heard people say he's the only one who comes out of the first three looking good. And I think he does come out of it looking pretty good.
Are they discounting Liam Neeson?
He's fine.
I guess he's just not.
He's not present in all of them, really, either.
Rumors that Liam Neeson may return in this. cameo even, and Hayden Christensen set to return as Vader. Apparently, there's supposed to be a major fight scene between Obi-Wan and Vader again, which, hey, I'm for.
If it's cool. I mean, we all know how it's going to end, right?
Right.
So, that's why I kind of loved... I just want them to remake Rogue One, I guess, is what... Because everything that everything that I say... I loved how they used Darth Vader in Rogue One, and I hope that we're going to see that kind of scary... horror movie type of feel from Darth Vader in this one.
And I've said it on this show before, but that is such a perfect way to have Vader interact with the universe, with this thing they've created, because he's scary. It is a horror. It's like a 10-minute horror show right there, and that's what I had always heard he was as a kid. And I'm not saying he wasn't that scary. I'm saying... It was a little bit more of telling and not showing. A little. You know, he did some bad guy things, but he also backed down a lot. When he had Leia in the A New Hope, he could have really done horrible, awful things, but he didn't.
But we were aiming for a PG rating, so.
That's right. In 1976 or 77.
Are you excited for how they're going to tie in Grogu to all this?
They're not, are they? They're not going to. Are they? No.
What do you think?
Is that true? Or are you speculating?
I'm speculating.
Oh.
How does Grogu fit into the... Well, we live in the Grogu-verse.
That's apparently the case, if they do it. No, hopefully they won't. I don't want that to happen. Of course, I don't want it to happen, but some other things they might try to tie in are... I don't know, will Boba Fett make an appearance?
You know, I'd love if they tied in, because they're... I can't remember the name of it. But there is that Rogue One TV show they're working on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Andor.
Andor, thank you. I wonder if Cespin they might tease.
Andor, is that?
I wonder if they might tease a little bit of that.
Yeah, some of these things, this one especially, can't sit perfectly well as a standalone, like, rather than trying to tie in anything. And going back to Darth Vader, we jumped off that just a little too quickly because I wanted to throw in a couple of thoughts. I'm curious why they brought Hayden Christensen back, because if he's just going to be in the suit the whole time, it seems pointless. But so that must mean there's going to be extra stuff involved with him, either out of the suit or flashbacks.
I'm guessing flashbacks.
Well, that would be great. He's retired, right? He doesn't do anything.
I don't think he does movies anymore.
That's right. The news was that they had to go out to, like, this ranch he owns and talk him into it.
They must have made a pretty compelling... Hey, you know that thing that everyone hated you for? Want to do it again?
But this time, mask up?
Mask up. Well, that's COVID.
Yeah. One of the great things about an article I read, I think it was Entertainment Weekly, was that he put on the suit and he was just towering over everyone. And it kind of... freak them out a little on the set, so this could be, it's promising, it is enticing, the trailer itself is enticing. This is the one that I was hoping they would make for a long time. You know, I'm not necessarily one of these guys that are like, oh, you gotta make this, you gotta expand on blah, you know, A and B and C, but this is one from way back, from the second trilogy. I thought they really do need an Obi-Wan movie after seeing Ewan McGregor. So we're kind of getting that. They're calling it a special event series. The idea there is probably they're just going to try to only do the 6 episodes, and then that might be it for it.
Which would be fine by me.
Yeah, me too. Assuming the 6 episodes gets everything done.
Yeah. There's no reason to stretch it out. In fact, I'm kind of in favor of them not trying to stretch it out because, you know, I think we've seen with streaming, you have a little bit. Sometimes you have too much freedom, Boba Fett.
No edge. Hey, so this one doesn't need any setup either. There's no start from exactly where it wants, right? There's no exposition.
There's no origin story. We already know what happened. It's kind of like what they did with the new Spider-Man movies, which I felt worked really mm-hmm. well. Just yeah. at this point being like, okay, you all know who Spider-Man is, uh-huh. and that he's got a stupid dead uncle or whatever, and we're just yeah. going to jump in because we don't need to do the story for the third time.
Yeah, rumors are Uncle Ben will never show up in the MCU now. That's the thing, which is fine.
Well, after what happened to Aunt May.
Did she just, what?
You saw that movie. You saw No I've seen, Way Home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After she died. She's his uncle. She's Uncle Ben.
I kind of forgot she died. I thought she was just horribly injured. You're right.
I think she died.
Oh my, did she die?
I think she died.
How are we forgetting everything today?
So she's Uncle Ben. I haven't forgotten anything except Joel Edgerton.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey. So, you know, they do have that part of the story to explore as well. Why does Uncle Owen hate Ben Kenobi so much, you know?
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. But speaking of origin stories, what'd you make of the Ms. Marvel trailer? That's our second Disney Plus show in the works coming.
Looked like it could be cute. Mm-hmm. Kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell. It's really hard to tell from a teaser. And especially because they were leaning pretty heavily on... like the idea that she has this inner life where she wants to be a superhero. It's hard to know how much of the show is going to look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if that's just like, in the first episode, we're going to see a bunch of her inner life where she idolizes the Avengers, and then it's going to get a little bit more conventional. Or,
mm-hmm.
But nothing in that trailer was a red flag. In fact, it looked cute.
Cute is the word you've used twice. Yeah, I was hesitant because of that. It has some YA, some young adult stuff, has a YA feel to it in the bad way for me.
Okay.
And I think that summarizes it well, just the word cute. But there were a lot of good things to point out. The actress does seem like she's going to be do balance, bubbly, and maybe depressive at times even. Maybe not that deep, but, you know, there's some sad elements. Like, I'm Muslim, and I don't, you know, I'm not doing this great job of fitting in, or I don't feel like I fit in. Mm-hmm. She feels like she's going to have some nice juxtaposition to her. And I'm excited to see a Muslim character fully present in the MCU.
Could this be Marvel's Euphoria?
If they went that route... where 3/4 of the characters are all strung out on opioids, and I mean, that would be some dark stuff. But yes, you know, they threw Daredevil up on the streaming service this week. So,
is Daredevil back? I didn't know that.
They got the Netflix shows and they put them up. Yeah, I looked at that last night, and you have to like put in a code and all this other stuff. They've got it. Locked down from kids. But so yeah, you could go watch those now on Disney Plus.
Cool.
Yeah.
If you sort of liked them the first time, you can sort of dislike them the second time.
Yeah. Daredevil was just about the only one that was that first season of Jessica Jones was actually pretty decent too.
That was a good one. First season of Luke Cage wasn't horrible. They all just suffered from bloat.
So much so. I think everyone agrees on that.
Something we hopefully will not see with Kamala Khan.
Maybe not. It doesn't seem like that's going to be the case. They're really varying their number of episodes to hopefully fit the story they're trying to tell, seems.
Yeah.
So no, probably no more Avengers movies. But what do you make of that? Because I hope they continue to pair up and group up in their various quote-unquote solo movies. But
yeah, I think we're not going to see the end of the extended universe, right?
No.
So even if they're kind of retiring the Avengers branding,
mm-hmm.
we're still going to have stuff where it's just going to be the next phase, right?
I think they've gotten to a point where it would be impossible to do an Avengers movie.
Yeah, so we're just going to continue to see, I think, the crossover-y type
mm-hmm.
stuff that we've seen lately. Yeah. I do wonder, kind of wonder, like the Eternals seemed like it was supposed to be their big event movie. And that got kind of weak reviews, and everyone was just sort of lukewarm on it. So I'm interested to see what's going to be the next. Are they going to have an event movie? Are they just going to kind of spin out the couple franchises that they've got working on right now? Because they've got plenty of characters.
Well, yeah, Doctor Strange is supposed to have Scarlet Witch.
Exactly.
And a couple of others.
New Thor is going to have Guardian of the Galaxy in it.
Yeah, I think that's what we're headed to. It's just they're going to try to pull characters and mix and match, and it might be heavily based on actor schedules.
Sure. Yeah. And that can be, I mean, you know, that's, the comics did that too. Based on actor schedule, but just like, you know, you'd have that cameo from the one or two or team up or whatever, and that worked just fine. And they've got plenty of franchises to mix and match with at this point.
Yeah, I agree, man. Our guy Donovan, I have not seen The Batman. We'll stick with the superhero stuff. I have not seen it, but I am going to ask you for a spoiler-free review in just a second. It does debut on HBO Max Tuesday, April 19th, so that week, I bet we, the three of us counting Adam, would do a more unpacking of the movie. Give me your vague general thoughts.
You know, it's 3 hours long.
Whoa.
And I thought that was going to, that was make or break. And I was entertained for 3 hours. So I think that could possibly be my spoiler-free review right there.
Gotcha. Does Uncle Ben die in it?
Uncle Ben does die. Again, the casting I think is pretty good. I like Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman.
Okay, good.
Paul Dano as the Riddler is genuinely unsettling at points.
And he is one of my favorite actors. He, Joel Edgerton, are two of my favorites. So does he get a lot of time with the mask off?
Not really.
Oh, man, wow.
He gets some.
Huh. But still does a good job with it.
I think he does a good job with it.
All right.
He comes across as he does a good job of coming across unhinged. One of the fun things about this one is it plays up sort of more of the detective side of Batman.
So I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. Looks great. I guess the guy who did, I have it pulled up in a tab here because I didn't want to forget it, the court cinematographer, Greg Fraser, who did Dune.
No.
Also did the cinematography for The Batman.
That's a good resume.
So the film looks phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. You recommend a theater experience?
I wonder if I wouldn't have been checking my phone more if I was at home.
I understand.
But I the theater experience was fun if you're willing to risk COVID. It is more immersive.
Are there a lot of spoilers to be had in the movie?
I think sort of.
Okay.
You can spoil the plot and where it's going.
Yeah, I don't know much about it. I've managed to do a really good job of avoiding plot.
Yeah.
I still might be sticking to that Tuesday, April 19th, that week of watching it on HBO Max. We're lucky to have a really nice TV in our living room, and I can get it kind of dark. And I don't know, I might just stick with that. Speaking of dark, it's like a literally dark movie, right? Like, is anything hard to see on the screen?
I didn't have a ton of time. It is a dark movie. I didn't have a ton of trouble following it. The parts of it that are dark are obviously lit that way for a reason.
Okay.
So, you know, you've seen, I think you've probably seen the trailer where they have the guns are going off and it's just him illuminated by muzzle flashes. It's that kind of purposeful use of darkness.
Cool. I'm so pretty excited. Up. Yeah. I think I heard a recent friend say they would say The Dark Knight's still the best, but this one is second.
I would say, yeah, Dark Knight's still the best. This one really might be it wasn't. I feel like I got the same. This is the same guy who did the Planet of the Apes movies, mm-hmm. the kind of set him up. And I kind of felt like he did the same thing here, where it was maybe it's not the absolute tip top best thing, but he's taking something that has kind of been run into the ground, mm-hmm. and making it worthwhile, showing you something you haven't seen before.
Is he taking a swing?
I think he's taking a swing.
You know, for me, I appreciate and respect so much people taking a swing at something. Though, I'm also prone to saying if the swing misses, I'm not afraid to say it's, you know, horrible or one of the worst things I've seen.
Sure.
You know.
That's the nature of the swing.
That's the nature of the swing, and I'm, you know, keep doing it. All right, let's go a little bit more lighthearted, much more literal light involved out in the ocean. We won't spend a lot of time on this, but there's an HBO Max series ongoing from Taika Waititi, Our Flag Means Death, about very loosely based on a story of a 1717 English gentleman aristocrat who decides to become a pirate. And I have seen two episodes.
I'm up to three, I think.
Okay. Watching that first episode, I thought to myself, is this too niche of a show, of a concept?
In the sense that, who's going to do this, for lack of a better word, like, who's into this pirate situational comedy, this pirate sitcom?
It's a pirate show as a workplace comedy, and that's really isn't the best description, but that's kind of what I was wanting. I think you could hang your hat on that, though. It's that description misses something about it.
Yeah.
I want this show to have at least two episodes down. I wanted it to have more absurdity.
I definitely got the sense it was trying a little too hard. There were some moments, and I think the moments that made me laugh the most were maybe more of the absurd ones, like where they overtake a small fishing vessel. And then you just drop a cannonball next to it, and you go, that's your warning shot.
Yeah, the comedy was amusing, but I'll say that it wasn't gut-busting in the least.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd agree with that.
It'll need to be a show that has a plot line, as the jokes aren't as LOL as they could be. I think it's going to have to tell some sort of story and for me to be invested in it, because it's lacking the gut-busting funny stuff.
So what you're getting so far with kind of Steed trying to make his own way in the world just isn't working for you yet? Steed trying to make his way as the gentleman pirate?
No, I think that's fine. I'm somewhat interested in it. I was just, from Taika Waititi, I was expecting more really big moments of laughter, but it's missing those.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. Is understated quite the right word? It's not understated in the way that like a Duplass Brothers comedy is, but it can be a little understated, I think.
I was very appreciative in that first episode that it didn't beat me over the head with any backstory. You know, it's a premise show. You got the premise. Let's just do this.
Right.
There are some flashback things that didn't hinder at all. It didn't. They felt somewhat necessary, especially to get a sense that our protagonist, which is the guy you're referencing, Steed, he comes from wealth, but he also doesn't feel like a man. He doesn't feel like he's worth anything.
Yeah,
and he's been told as much. You know,
he's on the outside his entire life, from in every part of his life. And now he's having a midlife crisis.
Yeah, that's it. That's real. Yeah. I like that. And I think that might open the door for me to enjoy the rest of it, because looking at it through this guy who's trying to, in 1717, face this toxic version of masculinity via a pirate. If you think of it like that, it does make the show more enticing, I guess.
Now, I did find myself liking some stuff that happened in episode 3 a little bit more than 1 and 2.
Okay.
I thought Rhys Darby really decides to lean into being the gentleman pirate.
Yeah, well, and he says as much in the second episode.
Yes.
Hey, gentleman pirate, why not be that?
And I, some of that stuff, maybe not gut-bustingly funny, but it was like it was entertaining. Some good guest stars come in.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling I know one of them.
Which makes it fun, yeah. And then Blackbeard is finally introduced into the show.
He's teased in the first couple episodes.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes.
So
I think I might keep watching it.
Oh, I think I will too.
It's 30 minutes. It's not bad.
It is, it's a great palate cleanser. It's lighthearted. Now, the guy, and I don't have the actor's name on the tip of my tongue, But the guy who's playing one of the captain's more right-hand men, Black Pete, is that his name? The character's name?
Black Pete, yeah.
That guy's funny. Is he putting on that speech impediment thing, or does the actor really talk like that?
I have no idea, because I don't think I've ever seen him in anything.
Me either.
And before this.
When he opens his mouth for a line, it's just, that is kind of funny. He has a couple of good moments. Not, when I was talking earlier about the show not having some gut-busting scenes, it's true, that still holds, but that guy will get a chuckle out of, I think, anyone.
I think that there's a general silliness to the show that I do kind of appreciate. It is, you called it a palate cleanser. I think that's what made me think of the silliness. It's silly and lighthearted, which kind of does help make up for the flaws where maybe the it is trying a little too hard or the jokes don't always land the way they should.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that it will. We really haven't spoiled anything if any listeners have made it this far. So, you know, maybe we've encouraged you to check it out if it sounds like something that's on brand for you. Let's take a little break, and on the other side, we're gonna really get into Severance more so. Hey folks, we're inching closer and closer to that first day of spring. It's almost here. We hope this episode finds you well on your Tuesday, and this spring what we're gonna have, a new season of This Song Sucks coming very soon. We'll make an announcement on the specific date very soon. Keep your eye on social media. Follow This Song Sucks and The Alabama Take. Plus, we're on The Alabama Takes on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and you'll stay abreast on all of the writing and podcasts that are available through our website. Let's get back into this episode of Taking It Down. Quick tangential question. The opening credits for Severance has gotten some notice. It starts in episode 2. I don't think they do it. They don't do it in episode
1. They don't
1,
do it in the first one.
Which is, that's a cool little move. But episode 2 on, there's this really inventive, original, what do you call it, intro song and credits, you know? Mm-hmm. It adds to the creepiness of this and the disarray of the idea of being out of step with your different lives. It does a really fantastic job of just giving you an image of those things.
And it ties in with some of the imagery being used in the show, which mm-hmm. I liked too. Mm-hmm. Like every time John Turturro's character sleeps, mm-hmm. he sees some of that black goop from the intro.
Yeah. What do you make of that black goop?
I have no idea.
Yeah, me either.
I don't know what it is yet.
That one's got me stunned.
Or if it's anything.
But I was going to let this be a question. What other shows have fantastic intros or just some that you can't skip on your streaming service?
I have been rewatching The Sopranos with my wife.
Oh, good.
And that one is unskippable.
You just can't.
I'm rewatching it. She hasn't seen it before, so that's kind of been a fun.
That's awesome. How far are you?
We have just about to start the very last season.
Wow. Yeah. And she loves it?
She loves it.
Yeah.
I feel like just because it was really short, the intro on Mad Men always set the tone really
well. It did. That's an excellent intro, and I rarely skipped it.
Yeah, same. And because it was short.
Yeah. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
That one was a good one. Did you watch The Americans?
Yes.
I liked The Americans intro as well.
I'm having trouble remembering it.
Well, it shared a little bit with Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
It did?
Yeah, there's a there's some stock footage. It's clearly stock footage, right?
Oh, okay.
And there's some stock footage that both intros use.
Okay.
It's like a little girl. It's like the little girl playing with like a hula hoop or something like that.
Oh. Yeah, I must have skipped it sometimes.
Okay. I thought that one was I thought that was a pretty good intro just cuz it kind of got you ready for the paranoia spy, you know, family drama you were about to step into.
Mm-hmm. The Leftovers did
that was a good one.
You know, it did something where it would change its intro per every season.
Yeah.
So, and with different song and everything. So that's a good one. Both versions of The Office, I feel like, are super short but good.
just iconic.
Mm-hmm. So are you an American or a British office guy?
I think that I generally tend to enjoy the American office more.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's got more heart, for sure.
Yeah, the British one is brutal.
It is brutal. I think I'm at a British office guy.
Really? Oh, okay. Really?
I bet listeners could have guessed that. The Wonder Years.
Guess that had a pretty good intro.
They repurposed a song, but it's well done. I think The Crown goes to Cheers, though, for me.
Huh. Yeah. That's unskippable. That's just a classic.
It is. And talk about setting the tone.
I wouldn't have thought of that.
Oh, man. That's a song, I guess, made for the show, maybe. I'd have to research that. But
I think it was made for the show.
And you could still listen to it minus the show.
Yeah.
And the images work.
I've even seen it repurposed in other things. Like, there's a wonderful, wonderful episode of the cartoon, so I just lost you. Adventure Time.
Oh, yeah.
That actually uses the Cheers theme as a kind of the heart of one of its emotional moments, and it totally works.
I could see it working as an emotional beat, yeah. If you're not familiar with it, we've mentioned it already. The Apple TV Plus show Severance is pretty good so far. I dare say great. There's a couple of things that I think it's got to do in order to really be great. It's got the actors Adam Scott, John Turturro, Patricia Arquette. It's concerned about these workers for an office who have their memory severed from the rest of their life when they're at work. They get in this elevator and their memory is only about work, and then vice versa for leaving the office. It's almost a psychological thriller, a bit of sci-fi, though not over the top, dystopian elements, though again, not like post-apocalyptic or anything. It's kind of doing its own thing. You've seen shows like this a little here and there, I bet. But, every episode is produced by Ben Stiller. He's directed a lot of them, so that's what he's been doing. So I mentioned that it was borderline great. Where are you with it? At six episodes deep. We're going to be spoiling all six episodes.
Okay. I think it's... I'd agree that it's borderline great. My only fear, what it's got to do for me, is it's got to stick the landing. It has to be style, more than style. Ugh. It can't be style over substance. Sometimes, it kind of keeps you going with this is mysterious, and you're not quite sure what's going on, and it unsettles you. Mm-hmm. And I think to be truly great, it's going to have to stick the landing.
It's going to have to answer some of the questions. That's exactly what I was thinking, too. Maybe not all of them.
No, I wouldn't want it to.
I think a ton. It needs to answer 90% of these questions it's getting you to ask. There are moments where I'm curious on if they're presenting a mystery only to keep you hooked. And that's what's going to keep it from being great, if that's what they're doing.
That's exactly what I was trying to get at. If there's not really any answers, or actually I'm fine with there not being any answers. It's just if it doesn't mean anything.
That's it.
If it's disconnected to the kind of broader points that they're trying to make.
Yeah, that is it. How excellent and scary is the smile of manager Milchick, who's played by Trammell Tillman, by the way?
I think if you're into horror, this is not exactly up your alley, you know?
I agree.
That's one of the things that just the way it's scary.
Man, he's playing that so well. I don't know if you could get that kind of performance out of anyone else. He's very specific.
I loved the bit where he goes, he's talking with Adam Scott's character, and he says, "You have to make your eyes kind.
Mm.
Can you do that?"
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it works so perfectly, because that's just his affect as he's kind of... about to walk him through this sort of horrible thing that's happening and he's taking part in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so enthralling and nice to be caught up with the show, because these shows on Apple TV Plus are doled out once a week. And this show works well to sit with for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, just some of the mysteries as well as some of the deeper things, which I want to get into both. The first mystery is, so apparently the office Lumen is the name of the company. Apparently, the company can turn on and off your severance from the rest of your mind, which we saw with the guy who the character Dylan.
Yes.
He's in his. We get this really quick moment where it's almost like a hard cut to him just sitting in his closet and Milchick dropping the smile because he's serious, which is also as scary as his smile. Asking him some questions about, look, you picked up this thing at work and you brought it. Did you bring it home? Has anyone seen it? So they can turn it on and off, right? I guess this will be settled next week, but will Dylan remember that he's got a son, you know? Because he saw that during the on-off moment of being severed.
I'd say presumably, you know, because is this my house? Whoa, what's this? I mean, he may not understand that it's his son. Mm. But, you know, a little kid burst in calling him daddy. Presumably he's not stupid. He can figure that out.
And he did not, even in that 45 seconds he was on screen as his Audi, as they call it, his whole vibe had changed.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
It was super well done. A lot of this has to be contributed to the directing, because they're getting great performances out of Adam Scott. You know, him just going down the elevator and switching facial expressions, just really nuanced. The Trammell Tillman guy who's playing Milchick is doing some great stuff. So is Britt Lauer, who plays Helly. And she's doing this hard balancing act of acting like she's okay with trying to fit in while also looking for a chance to escape and quit as soon as she can.
Yeah, she is... they've been taking her in some interesting directions too, where she's literally at war with herself and kind of seeing how, you know, like she says what she wants for her Audi is for her to wake up, draw her last breath, so remember that realize that it was her.
Mm-hmm. And she does the suicide attempt. Yeah.
And like you said, she's got this mix of trying to fit in and be a part of the team and also just absolutely desperate to not conform.
Some speculators online think that she might have been a reporter, or she is a reporter on the outside trying to investigate what's happening down there. I don't know. We'll see. Probably, I guess. You know, if anyone misuses the term Orwellian, they should watch this show. The whole having to read an apology until you mean it in the break room, it was straight out of 1984. So it really took me the third episode to realize that Harmony, the boss, wasn't severed. Did you, Harmony, also Mrs. Selvig, did you know she wasn't severed from her work self at the end of the first episode?
I think it was at the end of the first episode, I wondered, because they just kind of linger on her as her face gets very blank. I think by the second I had figured out that she wasn't severed. Maybe the third. I'm trying to, you know, having seen, what are we up to? Six now.
Six.
The first two are. But because that's kind of your ending cutaway.
Right. You realize she's the neighbor.
Yeah.
She's Mark's neighbor.
And her affect changes completely to her work.
Yeah.
What do you think about Patricia Arquette's performance? I'm curious. Are you down with, because she goes from very flat and affectless to
warm, caring almost?
Yeah.
Which is fake.
Or is it?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say it probably is. I think it's good. Do you have complaints?
Not really. I wonder, she's almost lifeless in the office, which is... I don't think I have a complaint about it so much as I find it disconcerting to watch.
Yeah.
Especially because I've seen, you know, we know that Patricia Arquette can act.
Oh, yeah.
And so seeing her kind of like a, she's almost like a, she seems like she's dead sometimes.
I think that there's starting to be a connection between capitalism as religion. You know, we did have that opening moment in episode 6 where she's worshiping this former CEO, first CEO of Lumen, And I'm still kind of confused on who is who in their Illumined past when they start talking about some of those people who existed.
And it's totalizing too, right? No, you shall have no other gods before me, right? There's no other, yes. no other writings but the manual. All of the paintings are of basically various Lumen figures doing Lumen things. Yeah, and for these people who have no lives outside of their work, it is a totalizing experience. It's really interesting. I like that how they're going into kind of like, maybe a little satirically or whatever, but the way that capitalism gives you the tools to only think in the ways that support capitalism.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, for sure. And it's comical and maybe satirical, too, that there's this notion when you're caught up in the work system, any sort of bullshit, like Rickon's horrible philosophy book, feels like this amazing insight.
That's been the funniest thing to me, and I think it's really working too.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's just because it's something from so I mean his philosophy book is BS, right?
Yeah.
But it's so far away from the totalizing system that they found themselves locked into that it almost doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is because it is something other.
Yeah, exactly. Any guesses on what the numbers are about? Oh, or maybe a better question is, what's that say about capitalistic work in a larger sense, those numbers?
You know, I kind of wonder if it's like, are we supposed to think of like finance or something like that, where the numbers, the numbers themselves are, you know, like in finance, like the numbers are important, but they kind of also don't. They kind of don't mean anything, or they can mean very negative, destructive things.
Uh-huh.
You know, where either you're trading in, like, nothing, or you're trading in things that are going to negatively impact people's lives.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we're meant to think explicitly of finance and financial numbers there. That could be a stretch.
It could be. It could also be working that way. One thing I did pick up on is there's this certain ease to perpetuate myth when you're removed from the reality of what other departments are doing. Of course, there's the obvious one where you're removed from your home life. And I don't know that you can't... This show is going to be open for interpretation for a lot of people in a good way. I don't know that it's not also commenting on our real selves versus our online selves or our texting selves at times.
Sure. In the sense that it's another persona that you project.
Right. And how in tune with it are you? Or what happens if you're not? If you don't know it? If you're not aware of it or thinking about it? What other mysteries are we hoping that they... The goats?
I want to know more. I'd be interested just to see more departments. I'm interested. We'll see what happens with the map. Mm-hmm. Are that and whether the houses, you know, it says some people live here. I'm wondering if the houses are, that's where Adam Scott's character lives, where he lives. Yes.
We also get this introduction in episode 6 of reintroduction of, so there was another pregnant lady
mm-hmm.
with Mark. Mark's sister's having a baby. That's the Rickon character's wife. And she had her baby, but while she was almost ready to have it, she goes to borrow coffee from another lady. That lady does not remember her at all. So it's very much concluded that she's been severed, right?
Yeah.
And why? You know, is it an experiment kind of thing? What is she hiding? What is her... And her husband turns out to be a politician.
A local politician in favor of severance.
Uh-huh. We get that as a little bit of a mystery.
You know, the biggest mystery here is why is... his sister with Rickon.
Because
if they
she
can solve that.
You're attracted to the goofiness of the guy, maybe. Huh? That's a pretty good one. There's a lot to uncover. I do have a worry that this show got renewed for a second season. And I think that's wonderful. But it does bother me that it being renewed could be interpreted as they don't have an end game in sight.
Yeah, is this going to be like Lost? Exactly. Where they just stretch it out and stretch it out and stretch it out and just try to keep it going instead of, you know, you're actually telling a story with a beginning, middle, and ending. Mm-hmm. And there's a point to all this. Because mm-hmm. If there's not a point to it, it's going to be frustrating.
Yeah, it really will be. Very much so.
Now, I think some of the stuff it's doing right now is strong enough that it stands on its own without the mystery. The plot kind of keeps you going, but the thematic elements, I think, are strong enough that I'm hoping that that is what is going to allow the show to stand on its own.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's ultimately not going to be about the mystery or the mystery. They do a good job of making sure that it serves those thematic elements, which I think so far they have done a pretty good job at that.
Right. Yeah. As long as they continue to make that balance, it's going to be a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
There are only 9 episodes. We have 3 more for this season. Interesting to see where it goes. I'll leave you with one more speculation. Are Irv and, which is John Turturro's character, are Irv and Christopher Walken's character married in their outer lives?
Huh, that's a good question.
Yeah. They are certainly connected, and Dylan even makes the comment that love transcends severance.
Yes.
What a comment.
I love, man, Christopher Walken is great, right? It's like, there's nothing in the manual that forbids lip-to-lip contact.
And so we haven't talked about Christopher Walken, so if that's just another great reason to watch it. It's a good show.
It is.
Really enthralling, makes you keep coming back. Every episode does leave you with a feeling of wanting to watch the next one, but we'll see how much of that can be balanced with commenting on some of its thematic elements. What we'll do is we'll return next week, talk about probably maybe the next episode of Severance if it warrants it, and some other things. Subscribe to us, rate us if you haven't, follow us on social media if you haven't, and you'll see what we've got in store for you. We'll talk to everyone later.